Though we miss them, we rejoice with them. And welcome to the funeral sermon recordings of Scandia Bible Church, a collection of services archiving our church's history that recognize brothers and sisters in our congregation, Christian saints, that have gone on before us. Saints marching in to the arms of Jesus. In this recording, we mourn the passing and celebrate the life of our sister in Christ, Mary Frances Stewart, with a funeral sermon delivered by Pastor Monty Seemal on April 11th, 2026.
If you ask how we gather today, we gather in grief and gratitude and need. We grieve because death is an enemy. The scriptures never tell us to pretend otherwise. Death, it tears, it wounds, it separates, it leaves an empty place that just lives with us. We feel that today. I know Mary's family feels that. I know you who were Mary's close friends feel that. And we feel it as a church. And we also, again, gather with gratitude. We think of Mary Stewart. I think one of the first words that comes to people's minds is service. Mary spent her life. Spent. I like that word when we think about a life. She spent. She spent her life serving other people. She served her family. She served this church. She would serve in nursing homes. She served quietly. She served faithfully. She served without drawing attention to herself. And then we gather with great need. We do not only need memories today. We need hope. And we do not only need to look back. We need something strong enough to help us now in our sorrow. Something strong enough to help us as we will one day face our own death. We need more than a good example. We need more than what has seeming to be what most Americans do, just never think about it. We need Christ. We need the gospel. We need the hope of the resurrection. So I want to honor Mary's life, and I want to do that by pointing to the Savior she served. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." That verse helps us understand both a life like Mary's and a hope that the Christian has beyond death. Mary, she was not a person that wanted to draw attention to herself in any way. By all accounts, she was very much an introvert. For many years, she sat there on that bench and played the piano for our church family. Not drawing attention to herself, just God's humble servant. Mary learned to play the piano from her mother back in Kansas where she grew up. She never learned music theory or anything like that. I remember trying to tune my guitar and I said, "Mary, give me an E." And she said, "I don't know where that is." I said, "How to understand? I mean, you play music." She's reading it out of the hymnal and playing it. And I said, "How do you play it without knowing where an E is?" And she's like, "All I know is that line means I press this." That's how she did it. She could not give you a technical explanation of what she was doing. She cannot tell you the names of any of the notes on the keyboard. She could sight read, and she used it well as a gift to serve the Lord, to serve His people. There's something beautiful in that. Mary reminds us that usefulness in the kingdom of God is not measured by worldly standards, and it's not measured by applause. The Lord often does His work through quiet faithfulness. Week after week, year after year, Mary helped God's people sing. She helped set truth to melody in the hearts of this congregation. She served not only here at Scandia, but she would play in nursing homes. She brought music, encouragement, and glory to God in people that are often forgotten. That pattern of service was not confined to just music. Mary raised Katie and Eric as a single mom, as has been mentioned. Being a single mom is never an easy assignment. It required sacrifice and endurance and courage. She did it fearlessly. Even as a single mom, she took Katie and Eric to all their activities that they had, and she would drive them everywhere, and she joked that she drove 500 miles a week and never left town. Any parent who has done that knows exactly what Mary meant, and it's harder today because of gas prices. She was there. She was present. She carried the weight. She kept it going. She even took her kids to the World Expo in Vancouver in 1986. Imagine planning that as a single mom. And this was before Airbnb and all that, and she went up there, rented rooms in private homes. That says a lot about her. She was resourceful. She was a brave woman. She was determined that her kids would have experiences and opportunities. She did not want them to feel robbed of those things. She was not passive about motherhood. She took her calling from God seriously. She served in ordinary ways that sometimes would mean the most, as you've already heard today. As a single mom, she even taught Eric how to change the oil, fix the flat kind of thing. There were things she said, you know, a boy ought to know these things. And she did that. He's still working with cars today. But love often looks like that. How to live, how to handle life, how to stand on your own feet. Mary was going to continue in that calling for as long as God gave her breath. She also put herself through school as a single mom. She earned a bachelor's degree in business. She worked for 28 years as a systems analyst at Bangor. That took some grit. Took discipline to do that and persistence. Even in her personal gifts, she just carried them humbly. She was that kind of person. It may surprise people at the church to know this, but her kids would know this. She would sing at home. And she had near perfect pitch, but her songs were only enjoyed by her family because she would never put herself forward. She was never going to sing up here. She was never going to do special music and a solo or anything like that. But she sang. Even her reading became a sort of disciplined faithfulness. In 2018, our daughter Sydney invited Mary into a reading challenge, And Mary took her up on it. And Eric helped her set up her tablet so she could borrow ebooks from the library. And she started devouring books. She had texted that she had read through C.S. Lewis's The Magician Nephew, and she texted Sydney that it was such a joyful read. She mentioned loving Steinbeck's East of Eden. She labored through J.C. Ryle's Holiness, and only by we kept encouraging her to finish it, and she persevered and finished it. In 2019, she read 42 books. That too says something about Mary. She kept growing. She kept learning. She was willing to undertake difficult things. And then there was this ministry that many in the church knew personally. And I apologize, Andy, that you found out that you weren't that special. But Mary wrote, she wrote cards. Birthday cards, encouragement cards, get well cards, congratulations cards. And she would see everybody on Sunday, but you never got your card on Sunday. It arrived in the mail. Handwritten, beautiful script. I didn't think it was too small. I just thought it was figurative of the day when they taught penmanship. It was beautiful. And it's classic Mary. Quiet, thoughtful, personal. She didn't need the spotlight. She just wanted to encourage. Those things are worth remembering because they are the evidences of a life spent for others. How should we think about all of this? Well, when we remember a life and a person like Mary, there's a temptation to say that, well, surely a life like that earns peace with God or gains God's favor. Nothing could be further from the truth. Maybe sounds like a weird thing to say. The Bible does not teach that our service, our sacrifice, our decency, or our usefulness can reconcile us to God. It is true that Mary lived a life that blessed many, many people. It is true that her service was real and it was meaningful. But even the best human life is not righteous enough to stand before a holy God. Mary knew that too. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That includes every one of us here. That includes me and Josh as pastors. It includes every church member. It includes every devoted mother. It includes the quiet servant. Death itself reminds us that there is something wrong with the world and wrong with us. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." So the real question before us is not, well, was Mary a kind person? She was. She's an amazing person. The question is not simply, did Mary serve? She did. She was an amazing servant. The deepest question is, on what basis can a sinner have peace with God? On what ground can anyone face death with hope? Those of you who saw Mary in these last few months recognize that. Fearless. Absolutely fearless. How? The answer was not found in Mary's life of service. She didn't look back to her life and say, this is what gives me hope. The answer is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said of himself, Mark 10:45, again, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Do you hear what Jesus says? He says, he does not merely come to teach, or to be a good example. He did teach. He is a great example. He didn't come to model compassion. He was very compassionate and did that too. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. That means that he came to pay the price sinners could never pay. He came to do what no amount of human goodness could do. He came to bear sin. He came to endure judgment, to satisfy divine justice, and thus secure salvation for his people. Isaiah 53 says, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned aside to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." That is the heart of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on flesh, lived the righteous life that we could never live, died the atoning death that we deserve, and rose again from the dead. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Romans 5, 8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So the Christian hope today is not Mary served, therefore Mary earned eternal life. The Christian hope is this: Christ saves sinners, and everyone who trusts in him will not be cast out. One of the best ways to honor Mary is not to exaggerate her, but to see what her life reflected. Her life of service points us to the Lord she served. Jesus is the true and perfect servant. Mary played the piano for the praise of God's people. Christ gives his own people a song to sing, even in the darkest of valleys. Mary would encourage people with cards, and they arrived in the mail at just the right time. Christ speaks better promises to weary sinners and gives words of life that will never fade. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Mary spent herself for her children. Christ lays down his life for his sheep. Mary served quietly. She did not seek any attention to herself. Christ made himself of no reputation, took the form of a bondservant, humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is where hope is found. It is not found in sentimentality. It is not found in just being spiritual and this ambiguous spirituality that you hear in all around us. It's not going to be found in just somehow the hope that, well, love just wins in the end without justice being satisfied. Our hope is in the crucified and risen Christ, who came not to serve, but to not to be served, but to serve and give himself as a ransom for many. In John 11, Jesus stood near the grave of Lazarus, and he was not indifferent to human sorrow. He cried, he wept. the Lord Jesus is not a stranger to grief. He is not untouched by your pain. He is the man of sorrows. He knows what it is to stand with mourners. But Jesus said this, and this is where you need to think deeply. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Mary's gone for a little while. That's the dividing line of everyone in this room, by the way. All of us are united in our love for Mary. But what I just read is the dividing line. No family background. Not about church attendance. Not about your moral effort. It's not about how sincere you are. Jesus says, "He who believes in me." For the Christian, death is still painful. But it's not the end. The body goes into the grave. The soul of the believer goes to Christ. And the body will be raised on the last day. Christ's resurrection guarantees the resurrection of his people. 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." That's why the Christian can grieve honestly and yet does not grieve as those without hope. And so as we remember Mary, we do so with tears. But for those who are in Christ, tears are not the whole story. The grave does not get the final word. Death does not forever reign. Christ does. The risen Savior does. And I want to be really speak very straightforward to anyone who does not know the Lord, and this all sounds completely new to you. Once again, Mary's life was a life of service, and that deserves respect. But if Mary could speak to us now, there's no way she would be saying, "Trust in Mary." She would not tell us to admire her and leave it there. She would point to Christ. You must let this day be more than a day of remembrance. Let it be a day of reckoning with eternal things. You will not live forever in this world. I will not live forever in this world. One day the people, all of us here gathered for this service, will one day have others gathered as they lay us to rest. Psalm 90 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." What then should you do? Well, you should do what Mary did. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from self-reliance. If anyone could have bragged about being self-reliant, it would have been Mary, the single mother who had to fight her way through life. Yet she was not self-reliant. Turn from the idea that being decent and hardworking and sacrificial or religious is going to be enough. It will not be enough. It will not be enough. Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ who receives sinners. Trust in the one who died and rose again. Receive him by faith. And hear this clearly. There is no one who is beyond his mercy. The Savior who calls sinners to himself does not turn away any who come. John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." That is the gospel Mary would want you to hear. So today, thank God for Mary Stuart. We thank God for a woman who taught by her mother in Kansas, who used her musical gifts in the humble service of the Lord. We thank God for this mother who raised her children with courage and determination. We thank God for years of faithful work, for probably hundreds of cards written out of her lung, her life and out of her love for us, for the songs that she sang in the quiet of her home, for all the books that she read with delight and the ones that she struggled through, for the miles driven in sacrificial service, for service given without any fanfare. We thank God for all of that, all of the ways her life touched ours. But above all, today we bless God for Jesus Christ, the true servant, the crucified Redeemer, the risen Lord, the hope for sinners, the comfort for mourners, the resurrection, and the life. And that means that in the deepest darkness, for all who belong to Him, there is still a sure and lasting hope that goes beyond the grave. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the life of Mary Stuart, for the many ways that you have used her to bless her family, to bless her church family, and so many others. We thank you for every evidence of quiet service and of her steadfast love and her faithful labor, all of those things that marked her life. And now, Lord, in our grief, we ask for mercy and comfort. Strengthen Mary's children, her grandchildren. Strengthen the whole family, Lord. Strengthen this church for those who do not know you. We ask that today would be the day you open their eyes to see the beauty and sufficiency of the Savior. Fix our hope on Jesus Christ, who died for sinners and rose again in triumph over the grave. We ask this in His mighty name.